Only a scientist with his head fogged by evolution could fail to be amazed at the intricacy of life on Earth. The more we probe distant stars, the ocean depths, and the screens of electron microscopes, the more we stand in stunned disbelief. All the evidence points to the hand of a great designer. Chance played no part in fashioning this creation. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his four-part series on the Darwin Delusion. He's describing for us God's great universe, detailing not just the wonders of galaxies, but also the complexities of a single cell.
As I looked at it, and they showed pictures of its intricacy and how it all has to come together, and then I'm thinking of the fact that we have millions and billions of cells in our body, I just thought, wow, can't get over this. Now, to understand the complexity of believing that this was chance, you know that they have cereals today that have every letter of the alphabet in them, alphabet cereal. Let us suppose that you came home and you had left a bowl of dry alphabet cereal on the cupboard. And it was there on the table. And you came home and you noticed that on the floor your name was accurately spelled, your address was accurately spelled, and then underneath it said, "Welcome home." Would you say to yourself, "I know what happened. It was our cat. Just happened to take that bowl of cereal and obviously threw it on the floor, and it just happened that that's the way it came out. Chance. Statistical probability. Oh, I know that it's really off the charts in terms of probability, but we as humans hit the cosmic jackpot, and what happened is we know that there's one chance in 100 trillion that this could happen. I wish I had brought the statistics that I read this past week about one scientist who was trying to calculate the possibility that all this could have happened. I know that it's 1 in 100 trillion with a whole bunch of zeros, but you know, it did happen. You'd probably say, no, that's irrational. I can't ascribe this to my cat. There's got to be some intelligence that did this. And there are scientists who are looking at the human cell and attributing it all to blind chance, the blind watchmaker. Wow. We have to look at the complexity of creation, the harmony of creation. You know that if this earth were tilted differently, we couldn't live on it. If the moon were closer or farther, it would affect us greatly. As a matter of fact, if the force of gravity were acting just a little bit differently, if you had a 5% closer to the sun or 5% further, we couldn't live. Now, Hugh Ross, who's done an awful lot of work in astronomy and gives lectures to astronomers, he has figured out that there are 322 parameters that are absolutely necessary for life and that our planet is so finely tuned. You know, you see some of those boards that are used for sound systems, and you have all of these knobs. Every one of these knobs has to be tuned a certain way in order for life. He estimates that there are at least 322 that all have to be in place and work together. And he says the possibility of this being a work of chance mathematically is 10 plus 340 zeros. One chance out of 10 plus 340 zeros could this all simply have happened. The harmony of the universe is unbelievable. Let me say also a word about the immensity of the universe. You stop to think of the sun and the moon and the stars and that God just spoke and it was all there. It's unbelievable. You know that the sun is 93 million miles away, and You know that it is our closest star, of course. And the next nearest star is 250,000 times farther from the Earth. Let us suppose I were to have a piece of paper up here, and you were to have a 3x11, a sheet of paper that's about this, same size. What is that? 8x11, yeah. And you were to draw on it a sun, say the size of a golf ball. And then over here on the other, at the bottom of the piece of paper, you were to put a dot, and that dot represents our Earth, okay? If you were to use the same proportion, our closest star would be 40 miles away. You can't get your mind around it. Imagine being in a spaceship traveling 186,000 miles a second around the Earth about 7 times every second. So a second has elapsed, you're around the Earth 7 times. And then that spaceship going off into space, traveling at that unbelievable speed, and you travel for 450 years, and then 1,000 years, and then 10,000 years, and then 100 million years, and then 1 billion years, and on it goes. You say to yourself, I cannot get my mind around it. But remember, God never created anything that was bigger than He was. So no matter how far we go to the outstretches and the outreaches of the universe, God is always beyond that. And you say to yourself, I can't get my mind around God. Now the Bible says that the heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day it's uttering speech. Night unto night is showing knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. Everybody who walks out at night knows that there's a God, that it all couldn't have happened. It's a language that is spoken around the world. And I can imagine, let's use our imaginations just for a moment. I can imagine that one day Satan, Lucifer, got all of his cohorts together, all of these demons, and said this. Look, we all know that the heavens declare the glory of God. Let's rob God of His glory. Let's say that, let's come up with a theory that it all happened by chance. In fact, let's say that the universe created itself. Let's say that it was just some excess hydrogen from an explosion that suddenly created all the stars. And I can imagine the demons looking at one another and saying, nobody would believe that. Nobody would believe it. And I can imagine wise Lucifer saying, never underestimate what people are willing to believe if they really want to. And so I quote the words of a scientist by the name of D.S. Watson. Evolution is a theory universally accepted not because it can be proven by logical, coherent evidence to be true, but because the alternative, special creation, is clearly untenable. We cannot allow a divine foot in the door. Wow. You know that when we sing the song, How Great Thou Art, as we will in a moment, when we talk about, you know, the starry heaven, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, we think to ourselves, that's God, and it is God. But you know, that's not the greatest, stanza in that hymn. A number of years ago, there was a preacher by the name of E.V. Hill, and what a preacher he was. I remember he preached a sermon entitled, God at His Best. And this great African-American preacher went through and said, you know, was God at His best when He created? And he described creation, and then he says, no, that wasn't God at His best. And he went through it all, and he said, you know, when God was at His best, it's when God came to a little boy in a poor home and saved him. That was God at His best. And that's why the third stanza of How Great Thou Art is so important. And it is the most magnificent. When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. that on the cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he suffered and died to take away my sin. You know why that's a greater example of God than creation? It is because in creation we see the power of God, his eternal power and Godhood, as the saying goes. That's what we see in creation. But when we see the cross, we see the love of God and the compassion of God and the desire that God has for us to fellowship with him. We begin to see that, and then we begin to understand that when God spoke in Genesis 1, and I know that God is always at his best, technically speaking, but we begin to understand that when God spoke in Genesis 1, that was his creative work. But when you think of his redemptive work, the stars are the creation of his fingers. Salvation, the Bible says, is his mighty arm. The God that we've just described here so imperfectly today is the God who desires to have fellowship with you, the God who desires to save you, the God who desires to take away your sins so that you can live with him forever. And that's why when we sing stanza 3, as we shall in a moment of How Great Thou Art, when we sing that stanza, it is time for you to lift your voice to God and to say, God, if you've never received him as Savior, if you are here today, why don't you say, I accept what you did on the cross for me. And I accept not only that you are a God of power, but you are also a God of love. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us to understand and to know that you are a God who creates, but you're also a God who redeems. For those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, we ask that you will draw them to yourself as they think of your love and not just your power. We thank you today, and we ask that as we worship you now in singing this marvelous hymn, that it may be to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we're going to have to turn to hymn number 147. We're going to sing the first stanza, then the third, and then the fourth. How great thou art. Let's all stand to sing as we worship the Lord together. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and it is true that the greatest miracle is not the creation of the stars, the universe, this earth, the trees, the mountains. The greatest miracle is really the one that took place in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now that is God at his best. What a wonderful time of year we are entering. We're thinking, of course, about Christmas and the Christmas season with all of its blessings. And what would it be without Christmas music? Well, I have in my hand the Christmas Favorites, the Moody Church Collection, a CD made especially for friends just like you. In a moment, you'll be told how it can be yours so that you can sing the carols of Christmas with us this year.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up God's Great Universe, his second message on the Darwin Delusion. Tomorrow, the crowning moment of creation as we meet God's first couple. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our Christmas Favorites CD will add richness to your holiday season. And this CD is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Thanks for listening, and join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.